This is episode 162 of the Gold Squadron podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel, trying to make it in time, Manzano.
Looks like I was the only one next to Ryan.
Will, Robot Revolution, Higwood.
Much Roger.
And Ryan, new and improved, Stanazuski.
I mean, how I'm here is new and improved as per my nice new PC build that I have now, all ready and rared for squadrons.
Zoom, zoom, baby.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and hit announcements and news first. So if you guys remember, last week we had mentioned that FFG hadn't mentioned in their Gen Con post anything about X-Wing. They heard the cries of the people, the worries. And there's going to be something about X-Wing in the Gen Con talk. So that's good. That's good information. Whispers are that it's the new wave. You know, they're going to talk about the new wave. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Super excited. We're not being ignored. I think we didn't get mentioned because they're trying to draw in those people for those more... or the less played games, maybe we'll put them that way. X-Wing being their biggest, or at least one of their biggest.
Then shots fired.
Pow, pow, baby. Yeah, I'm going at you. Armada, let's go. Fight me. But see, here's the thing. Nobody, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm sure there might be some, like, X-Wing players who play Armada, but there's no, like, hardcore, like, Armada is life people here. I mean, if you are, that's cool. What's up?
There are so few. I'm curious as to why you'd pick a fight with Armada, though.
Because I can win, like, I can win that one.
So it's very easily. Sorry, Armada crew. I tried the game. It was fun. It took too long. Didn't get as many games in per night.
And then I do have a little bit of bad news. There will be no mind games tonight, and I will tell you why. Okay? I will tell you why. I'll be honest. I got a lot of homework to do. And not enough time to do it, and a lot of things going on. Something had to give, and Mind Games is what has to give this week. But we'll be back. Promise. I promise there'll be Mind Games next week. And anyway, honestly, we didn't actually have enough lists of the week to even do our new plan for Mind Games. Only three people submitted, so we wouldn't even had four choices. So it kind of worked out. Fate said, that's cool. All right. As for, don't forget, guys, submit those lists of the week. So now you know that the lists of the week affect Mind Games, all right? So don't forget. Let's do that on the Discord. Patreon update. Items are going to start shipping. We're almost done. We're so close. We're on the cusp of finishing Space Jam. And then right after that, boom, Patreon, all right? Now, quick, I did make an announcement on Facebook as well as on our Discord. I know, so this current wave of stuff, of gifts for our patrons, were for patrons who did, it was April, May, and June. But, of course, that is like prime Corona time. So what I've done, I knew that there's quite a few people who had to drop Patreon because, like, I get it. You gotta eat. You gotta make sure you have money for your family, rent, all that. Listen, we get it. That's fine. What I was able to do, because I went in, I was like, do I still have the addresses of those people that that had to cancel their Patreon? And I do. So I'm going to be sending you copies of some of the gifts, at least at minimum the paper cards, because I want to get you guys something. Like, I understand stuff is bad right now, but if you're still hanging out, you're still part of the fam. And I ordered the cards already, so I want you to have them. All right, so those are going out, of course, to our current patrons, and for patrons who had to drop, who were in that veteran tier or higher, in this window of Patreon, we'll be getting some copies of the stuff. So, because I love you guys, so let's jump into our topic. We are doing tier list today. Tier list. I'm super excited. Okay. Now, in order to make it viewable for y'all on stream, we did simplify it just a little bit. We only have four different groupings. We have S tier, the best. All right. Top of the heap. A, B, and basically that last category is C and below. C and below. I'm going to go first just so that I can give the guys a little bit of an example. I had something else planned. Didn't work out. We're doing this instead, which was a plan B I've been having for a while. Here's an opportunity to do it. So here are the rules, all right, for my host and for you guys at home. Now, let's go ahead and make it. We're going to do the first order first. Today we're covering First Order, Separatists, Resistance, and Republic. Those are the four that we're covering today. The idea is that we're taking each of these ships and we're taking into account all the pilots in the ship. Now, there's, you know, if you have one pilot that maybe pushes it into the next one, you can do that. But we're just trying to think the chassis as a whole. And the idea is that that S tier should be that ship that defines the faction. You're like, you know, if you're going to play First Order, you're going to play, bam, this ship. Okay? And those of you who are in the chat, I want you to argue with me, all right? I want you to argue with us. I want you to give your opinions for the ship chassis. Where do you think they're going to be? Because I guarantee you, you're going to disagree. If you're listening in your car or at home right now, make sure to jump on the YouTube video. Give your opinion in the comments down below. Let's fight a little bit, all right? Let's fight a little bit, all right? And assuming we don't get points for next week, we're going to hit the at least one to three of the original trilogy factions. It really just depends on how long this takes today. I have no idea how long it'll take. We'll find out. All right. Let's do it. So I'm going to go ahead and just go in order from pilot to pilot. Now, the view that you're watching is not a live view of me moving things around. I'll update it as we go. The first ship we're going to look at is the one right there, right in front on the bottom, is the Upsilon. All right, the Upsilon, that's how I call it. Some people call it the Upsilon. I think my understanding is that's the correct way to say it. Right, Ryan? What do you think? Is it Upsilon?
Tomato, tomato?
Tomato, tomato.
Fair. Don't you want, man?
Fair. We can undoubtedly say that Tavsin, okay, that Tavsin is the best out of the crew. Right? After that, you got Petty Officer Thanissen, who is pretty okay, but after that, things are just not worth the points. So you got one really great pilot, and the rest that are just not so awesome. So with that, I'm actually going to take the Upsilon class shuttle, and I'm going to place it in the B tier. One pilot is not going to do it for me. It's just not going to happen. Then we get to the TIE BA. And I think out of all of the ships, this is the one that I had the most amount of trouble deciding where I wanted it to go. Hollow, which you see, I put Hollow there because I think Hollow is probably the pilot that is the best out of them. You could argue for Von Reg if you want. You're wrong, but I think it's Hollow. Listen, today I'm giving you those opinions, okay? None of this ride in the line middle stuff. Hollow's the best. Then you got Von Reg underneath that, and you got two other generics. The maneuverability of the chassis alone makes it better than an Upsilon. It is a bit fragile, but I still think it should be in the B tier. The A tier, excuse me. It's not quite S tier. It's just, it's good, but not great. Hollow is great, but the whole chassis? Nah, fam. Then we get to the TIE FO. So this is the base TIE fighter for the First Order. I like the chassis itself. You look at the dial, like, all this seems really good. You got some decent abilities that we look at it. But I'm looking at the chat. I love it. I love it. I do not love the FO. There are some that are okay, but I'm taking that and I'm putting it in the C tier. Like just dump it in the garbage. If I had to, sorry, FOs, for the price, I can get something better, and that is a TIE SF. Per point value, I think the SFs are a better value. overall, in my opinion, the SF is the, wait for it, only S-tier ship in FO. Okay? Because...
We fight.
What? We fight?
We fight.
We fight. Okay. The front back arc, the flexibility with the, with the missiles, I just think it's really, really a great chassis. Now, you might be screaming in the chat, and I can see you guys boo. This is why this today is going to be super fun. I'm going to cheat a little bit. And my opinion is that the silencer is almost S tier. It rides the line between S and A. And like, I feel like when building a list, I always want a little more extra sauce on my silencers, but I don't quite have the space. The chassis itself in a vacuum is S tier for sure. But in our current points, I have to put it in the middle, but because I'm going to follow the rules and put it in an actual tier, it ends up A tier. All right? All right. Hosts, fight with me. Let's go. Fight me.
All right, since I said I was fighting already, silencer is definitely S tier for me. We saw Cody. I've been on the front lines dealing with my local Cody Wood when he brought those triple silencers, showing what you can do with just, you know, chassis that's I-5. Look, who cares about Black Ops ability, you know? That's only three of the pilots, so I guess you can make that argument. It's a half and half, but and so is the TIE BA. Mm-hmm. But I'd also look at the SFs. Right now, the SFs I only care about are Zeta, Backdraft, and maybe QD, but QD's really fallen off. You're missing the Omegas, you're missing Lahuse, you're missing Phasma, who are all very subpar. So it's another half and half scenario. And when in doubt, force out. It's Kylo.
You can't argue with that. You're right. And I told you, like, I think it's on the tier, on the middle. I think, though, Cody proved that they can be amazing. Absolutely. But I'm not going to discount Cody's skill as well. So.
Oh, no. That definitely takes skill to play that list.
That's where I'm at.
It's very anecdotal. The only thing I actually agree with your S and your A, simply because of the why is it so zoomed in so close? Simply because the cost at the silencer. But where I'll fight you a little bit is, and people will disagree, is I would actually switch the B and C around and think. The FO currently has a lot more utility than the whatever that ship is.
The Upsilon, really?
Upsilon, whatever.
I mean,
I think so. You get Scorch.
All right, end of the podcast. I'm out of here.
You get Scorch. You get Muse. You get TN. I mean, you got a lot of good cheap additions to a puzzle, and they're cheap enough to where you can throw them in. And right now where the game is right now, I personally feel that if you've got enough points to throw in the tabs and like 60 something 70 something points, just throw in another silencer or do, you know, throw in a better ship.
All right, so if it's a 3-1, I'll take the veto. Are we flipping the Upsilon and the FO? I will take the veto.
I also agree with Marcel.
Yeah, they just they've proved their worth as a filler ship. They're easier to include, and I think they just might be more points efficient.
Yeah, and I think I've messed around with it, so I feel like I'm aware of this general like combination or filler type ship, but I haven't seen a lot of people use it. But Omega FOs with proud tradition, I think, is a very good price.
All right, so. Are there any other of my choices that we have a 3-1 disagreement?
No, everything else makes sense.
All right. So our final rankings, especially for those of you who are only listening through audio, we have the SF at S tier with some disagreement from Ryan. We have the Ty Baron and the Silencer at A tier. The FO at B and Upsilon in the basement with some argument from Dion. Awesome. Great talk. Great talk, fam. All right. Who's up next? Resistance. I don't know who that is.
Looks like it's Resistance. That's me.
Okay, cool. So we'll go over and flip to the Resistance.
Right. I was waiting for the It's the Resistance.
It's the Resistance. All right.
Take the floor, sir.
Let's get the easy one out of the way. Resistance Bomber, D tier. Down at the bottom. But just put in C. Like, there's things I like about it. There's potential, but I've always gone back to the fact that it is a big base ship with one agility that has rarely ever opportunity for double mods, and it doesn't have reinforce. So, like, if you don't have double mods offensively to push out offensive firepower, you, like, take that step back and, like, okay, maybe I should have reinforce. Well, they don't have that either. So they're 100% reliant on the extra damage for not having double mods to come from a trajectory simulator or some type of bomb shenanigans. It's a lot of points to invest in bomb shenanigans. Like, bombs we found have been better when they're an additional flavoring on the list, not a cornerstone. Granted, you can still make Finch Dallow good with some area control, with some A-wings, maybe, but it's a lot of points synced into something that is going to die and probably just cause your opponent to fly a little differently. Let's go with the other easy part on the opposite of the spectrum. The RZ2 A-Wing is S tier, S++, but whatever, however you want to put it. It is the backbone of the Resistance at this point, without a doubt. The combination of forward and rear arc, the boosting, the pilot abilities are all valuable. Every single one of them. And that is a rarity in X-Wing, where you see an entire chassis, you can see a reason to bring every single pilot, because every one of them has a valuable ability. You may argue Lulo is a little overcosted right now for what Lulo does. Sure, there's potential for some value still there. I mean, we clearly see ZZ is the most valuable and probably the most cost-effective ship pound for pound, maybe in X-Wing? Maybe? So then after the A-Wings, then we get into the middle sections here. I'm going to go with the Resistance Transport Pod, and I'm going to put that in A tier. Rose's value is extremely good. We know Finn, whether cheap or souped up with upgrades, is also good. We've even seen some shenanigans with BB-8 and V-Marotti in certain lists that have provided some value, both in carrying just valuable crew and just providing some minor effects of firepower and some valuable abilities with, like, Rose. So it's been a great filler and another, similar to the RZ2 A-Wing, pound for pound, point cost per what you get out of it. So next we'll go with the Fireball. That one's tough because I could argue between B or C. Kaz is good, but man, none of the others are really shining. We've seen a little bit of the Colossus Mechanic Generic do some stuff. I'm going to go C tier for now. Definitely above the Resistance Bomber, though. But it maybe still is finding its place. Similar to the TIE BA, that took a bit to see predominant use. It's probably being overshadowed, being a similar point cost to a bunch of RZ2 A-Wings. Like, why should I take a Fireball when I can take an RZ2 A-Wing right now? That's just a simple case in that. Next, we'll go with the T-70. That one's going to be placed solidly in B tier. There's a couple pilots like Jespava, and in some lists, archetypes, Poe, but we've seen at least an extended Poe has a hard time, and even Hyperspace has a hard time getting value from him. Nine Nub has some opportunities here and there to shine in some lists, but overall, across the entire ship chassis, there's some argument to creep into A, but I think right now, in some of the even when using some of the well-known pilots, it has a higher chance to it has people bring it a lot. It doesn't have a high cut rate across the board. Resistance transport, that is going to be, it's really just the Covenel show. Everything else is just kind of like meh. So that one's also going to be B tier. I can't lift it on one single pilot. Kova is amazing. Leia crew on Kova is amazing. But everyone else is just meh. So until those other pilots see more relevancy, I can't put it in anything higher than that right now. And then finally, the Resistance Falcon. Very similar case to Kova. I've seen some use in Han, but it hasn't wowed me. It hasn't turned my head to be like, I'm going to try that Han. It's just been Rey. But Rey has been performing much better now. If it wasn't for some of the Rey performance, it probably would have been C tier, but this one also ends up in B tier. And that's all I got. So some fighting from the chat. They wanting from T70 to be A tier. What you guys got? What do you think?
I think Marcel had some opinions. Go ahead, Marcel.
Yeah, I was just thinking that I would have probably swapped the fireball and the transport. Even with Covenel. Covenel is good. Definitely good.
Are you going to put the transport in the basement?
Yeah, I would put the transport in the basement, because even though Covenel is good, he's actually good with R4, I think. With Leia, he starts getting expensive. And the fireballs, actually, again, they can be, it is true that the A-Wing is a better filler or better, it does more for what it does. But if you have no A-Wings, let's say you're playing a format that's no A-Wings, hyperspace version, you get rid of A-Wings, and you're not playing A-Wings anymore in the next hyperspace, the fireball is going to fill that slot pretty well, especially with Kaz. So I actually think they're not C-tier. They're just trying to fill the same slot that is currently being filled by a ship that is ultra that's ultra valuable. Like the cost per point is, the value per point is just ridiculous. So I don't think it just means that the fireball is that bad. I just think that the slot in your list that it's competing for is just taken up by something that's just way too efficient. But if you take the A-Wing out and you put Kaz in there with just heroic, you'll get a lot of mileage out of it.
Now, we can all agree. I saw a couple people be like, "Hey, no love for the bomber." I think we can all agree that as a whole for the faction, the bomber is just bad, right?
Yeah,
just trash.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just trying to creep up from the bottom, saying, "Hey, I still exist here."
All right, so our final ranking here. I mean, I don't think we had any 3-1 disagreements. You know, just little here and there.
What do you think, Will?
You guys basically covered it perfectly. That the reason the fireball is in C tier is because the A-wing and the pod are SNA. So like their comparison just makes them look really bad. They're honestly not terrible, but the fact that they could be so much better is dragging them down. And honestly, that's you said it right. Is like as classic as it is, it's the name pilots carrying the middle class ships. Han, Koba, Rey. Even, was it Jess Pava? And I can't believe this is why the bomber can't even be ranked. Is I can't believe that they, in Resistance, came out with an upgrade that lets you reinforce, and the bomber can't take it. What?
No big ships allowed.
Yeah, I'm working Holdo and the on a bomber to steal people's reinforces, I guess. Is that what Paige is for? I don't know. So yeah, no, I'm pretty much in full agreement here.
Yep. Yep, yep. Agreed. All right. We're going to go ahead and hit... What's next on the list, boys?
It's droids, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Roger.
Now we're getting into... we did the sequels. Now it's for the prequel times. Let's see. So what are... We have our options here. We got... Oh. Do I even know? Oh, of course. The Bulb Lab, the Nantex, Sith Infiltrator, Vulture, and Hyena. I think I'm going to start with the Sith. I don't know. I want to start with the Vulture. I don't think we can talk Separatists without probably the backbone and a majority of lists, which is the Vulture and the Trade Federation drone. I'm putting them in A tier. They are fantastic. They're very much a ship that has a high floor, in my opinion, but at a certain point, a low ceiling. Right? You get six of them. You fly them in a 2x3. They use network calculations. They're surprisingly defensive. As that block, they shoot a lot of red dice. Right? But they have their limitations, though. There's a reason why they cost 19 points and why they had why they started to implement the 8 ships only rule, regardless of point cost. A ship so bad that it's under 20 points. But obviously it does have things going for it. You got struts that are affordable right now. No, these are all things that are good. They have the network calculations, excellent. The linked actions, they get it all. Here's the problem that is keeping them out of S tier, is that they have one style of play. You have the swarm mentality. When was the last Vulture ace that was hunting you down and terrified you? They only have the swarm mentality, the pack functionality. I think is keeping them out of the S tier. So then we're going on to the Sith Infiltrator. We're doing them next. Going on, they are going into B tier. I do love their man. I want to name them off. If you're a Force user, you have Force, Cannon, Torpedo, Crew, Payload Modification, Title. Tactical Relay. That upgrade bar is outrageous, which keeps them versatile. You can do bombs, cloaking. You can be a support ship in a droid swarm with a 066. Dylan, you tried the Dark Couriers. You got an opinion on Dark Couriers?
They're trash.
Okay, well, that's fair.
They're too expensive they're too expensive as a like for what it is, essentially.
Right, because the ability to perform comes from this action. It's action bar, excuse me. It's action bars that I can get, and it's upgrade bar. The fancy things you can do with Count Dooku with heightened perception to shoot somebody, I think at initiative 7, and then cloak for stress, and they shoot you, and more things happen, they can combo well, which I do like. So they not a bad ship. It gets a bad rap. There's combo things, but the fact that two of them were able to fly around as just one list has to mean something. Like, that, it's got to prove that they're a good ship. Maybe it just means the Force is good. I don't know. They bring, you can get a 5 Force Maul. That's pretty good. All right. So, that's on to, let's see. That's my B tier. All right. Next, we're going with the Bulb Lab 22. And we're putting it in C tier. While it has a lot going on for it, I think there's basically a big distinction between... There's basically only two Bulb Labs. You have your Seer and Want, if you're crazy like me, running tactical relays in a droid swarm. Seer does it as well. We've seen it do amazingly using the crack shots, extra things, pinatas, krakens, whatever you want. You also have the Ace version with General Grievous. But I think that overall, its reliance on the Solus one and very specific archetypes makes it almost the other pilots unplayable, right? Like, I had to look up what the generic was called again. It was the Fethan Outra Autopilot. They are way overcosted. They have terrible blues. Their linked actions are only to calculate. They're one of the worst generics I've ever seen. They do have boost calculate, but with only 5 health, 2 agility, it is real bad. And the main thing keeping them away is not having that networked calculations that all the other droids would normally have. So they're very undefensive. Anyways, I personally think that Solus 1 needs to go way up, but all Bulb Labs need to go way down. So that there is a bigger difference. Remember, Solus 1, I think, recently actually went down. It used to be a lot more, and I think it should go back up. It used to be 10, I think. Anyways, what do we have left? Just the Nantax and Hyena now?
Yep.
All right, so we're going to go with the S tier then, and it is the Hyena, in my opinion. The sheer versatility of the ship is baffling. They nailed the different configurations, not built on upgrade cards, but the pilots themselves. Utilizing the limited pilots on like Bactoids and bombardment drones really gives the ship a lot of flavor no matter what pilot you're flying. Now we mostly see Techno Union bombers just because efficiency is good. 5 health is a surprising amount when it comes, especially compared to just the 3 of the Vulture. They still have network calculations, but you trade the barrel calculate into barrel to target lock, and you know me, I love that target lock action. Let you take advantage of the torpedo and missile slot this thing brings. You still have the struts, you have bomb options, man. And why I think it goes above the Vulture is the added versatility of 4-4, who has been proven that he could fly along Nantax and Grievous, shooting 6 dice advanced proton torpedoes at things. He is a scary ace out there. Also Ryan, and I've seen it, especially with the Pinata and in hyperspace now, DBS-32C being able to bring the relay and being an actual support ship out there as well. So bombs, acing, support ships, you have cheap generics, you have torpedo carriers, probe droids, a cheap way to, like, the list goes on and on and on. And combine those all together, and you have an S tier ship, in my opinion. So Less is the Nantex, and this is actually a tough one. Because I think there is actually two Nantexes, okay? And do you have Ensnare or not? And it is an extreme difference, in my opinion. A non-Ensnare Nantex, D, maybe C, could be argued for C. And it's, I would put it there. You just move the card into C territory. Because it's not getting, I don't think it's going to dig itself out. But I will say that with Ensnare, as the ship was designed for it, I think could, and it like has been proven, right? Like we've seen the versions of 3 Nantex, 4 Nantex, all in one list, all with Ensnare, pouncing on something, tractor beaming it. It is valuable tools. But overall, without that crutch, the whole ship falls apart. So I'm solidly putting it into C tier.
What would you rank the Ensnare card itself?
If you want to put Ensnare out there, you can put it in B tier.
All right, cool.
It's a one trick pony. It only works in certain matchups. Like your one copy of Ensnare isn't very fun against Boba Dengar. But at least you can get rid of your tractor beam. But it's how the ship was supposed to be designed, and without it, I think it kind of falls apart. So unless you like no shields and two dice turrets, and then you should get on some generic Nantex in hyperspace.
All right. I move to the peanut gallery. Thoughts? Marcel, Ryan.
I was going to let Marcel go first because I know Dion had a lot of images he was posting up on his curiosity about the Vultures in A tier, but hot take, I'm going to agree with that because only the Trade Federation drone and sometimes DFS 311 are played. So if we're doing the entire chassis, granted the generic can be taken by many more because it's by words generic and not unique. There's only one of those pilots that are being used on the entire chassis. The Hyena has had almost every one of them used, including the bombardment drone we saw is being used quite well in certain aspects. The one thing I'm going to disagree with is I think the Belb Lab should be B tier with the Sith Infiltrator because although the Feathen Outlaws don't have a great base stat line, they still can carry tactical relays for cheap. You can still equip the currently cheap Solus 1 title, and we've seen some success because people, after the last points update, had to decide between Seer, Discord missiles, and Struts. And some people decided to keep the Discord missiles and Struts and then drop Seer down to Feathen to keep TA 175. So, and we saw success with that. So I do think the Belb Lab should be up at B tier.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, I guess my issue with the Vulture is I feel like we take the initiative one Vulture because at the cost, it is just such a good value. You just can't argue with the value, the versatility, the flexibility, any other illity that helps my argument. I don't know.
I just don't see where we're seeing them outside of 5, 6, 7 all grouped together.
But that's what they're meant to do. That's what they were born to do. Cool. They were born that
cool,
way.
That's one. Cool. They do one thing well. I agree. That's it, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if they do one thing well and they do it well enough, that's enough for it to be. I don't agree. I actually think they belong in A, but that it goes the same thing to saying like, like Suntrafel. He does one thing well. He moves last at initiative 6, and that's what he does well. But when he does it and he does it well, he's if you fly him right, he's almost unbeatable.
All right, so
the only thing I'm gonna agree with with Ryan, and maybe Dion can pitch in so we can do his what do you call it, his veto, and get the belly rub up to B, because that belly rub, I've even flown against five belly rubs with Imperium plating.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Initiative 3 ones with crack shot and plating.
Right.
And they, with their ability to, so think about it, five X-Wings are actually not a half bad decent list. They don't have it, they're just five X-Wings, they don't have anything on them. These have crack shot, they have Imperium plating, and they're Initiative 3, and they can both focus boost and, or focus barrel. Like, their mobility is a lot better than the X-Wing. They have the double linked actions instead of just a single linked action if you choose to get one die less. And the Imperium plating can very often make up for that one haul difference, you know, that 4-2 versus 3-2. So I actually think I would take five belly rubs over five X-Wings any day. So yeah, they're not A tier, but I would put them in B tier. And Dion's moving them, so he kind of agrees, I assume.
I agree. I veto in order to get the belly rub up to B. Grievous. We haven't even talked about Grievous. Grievous, so good. So good.
Oh yeah, he's good.
So I'll just add that to there.
An initiative too low, but he would be amazing at five. But we need to get what was it? Instinct something. What was the 1.0 card?
Intensity.
No, the one that gave you +2 initiative.
Oh no! Veteran
instincts. No, thank you.
Yeah,
no, thank
separatist
you.
Separatist only. Yep.
The card that should not be named.
I mean, I'll give it to you guys that, I mean, but I like I said, I the fact that it's, they're reliant on either they're too reliant on the relay and Solus One, and we'll see. Maybe that's what they should do. Is improving plating belly rub only? You know what I'm trying to say.
I think it is belly rub only.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody else using it, right?
Mm-mm. Oh man! Oh my god!
Yeah, they should base that on initiative. And if you're not initiative 4, wait, could they do it so you're not initiative 4 or 2? Dang you, Seer, being weird. But okay, so relays go up. Wait, no, Solus One goes up. Imperium plating goes down. Is what you say, and you would see more of them?
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess the other difficulty is if you want to fly five of those, you cannot buy a single pack of them, though.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's facts.
I'm just saying.
You got to get a trade. Trade a little trading.
All right. That's fair.
All right. So our final results for Separatists are the Hyena Bomber at the S tier, the Trade Federation Drone Pack pilot, the Vulture Droid at A, the Belbalab at B, as well as the Sith Infiltrator and Nantex that have Ensnare, but without Ensnare, in the basement, below the basement, basically D tier, off the chart, only gets placed there because we have to put it somewhere visual. All right, and last but not least, we have the Republic Marcel Manzano. Whisper those sweet nothings into my ear, please.
You've got a lot of faith in me to say not least. We'll see. Let's see if I can get you to veto all four of these. Five of these.
I mean, you can meme them if you want, I guess. That's just a waste of people's time.
So let's start from the best ship to the not so best ship. So the best ship is definitely the S tier, goes to the Jedi. I don't think Delta 7.
The Aether Sprite.
Aether Sprite. There you go. You've got a chassis that has built-in force across the board no matter what you fly. You've got two potential ways to fly in them with Calibrated or the Delta 7 title. You have everything from Initiative 3 up to Initiative 6. Amazing pilot abilities from Anakin's pilot ability, mainly is Initiative 6. That's his main pilot ability. But you've got Obi-Wan, Plo Koon, Mace, all of them can do, just have really good abilities. Luminara, Sace 18 of it, all of them have it. Then you have the potential of adding regen on there, so that automatically kind of puts them in S tier alone. You have force users that can regen. That'll win you some games, just that alone. I don't know what else to say about that. I think they're amongst the best in the game right now. They're a little bit cost. They're a little expensive right now, but even being expensive, they're really good. Then from there, I'll go to the A tier. I'll probably get some pushback on this. I actually struggled putting anything in an A list. I was almost going to throw everything in B.
Oh, interesting.
But let's throw something in A just because it's a little better than the rest, which is the Naboo. The Naboo Royal Starfighters or whatever they're called. And mainly for the Naboos, you've got Rick, who has an amazing ability. You've got Anakin, who has the Force. It's, I think, the only ship that has native Force and an EPT. So you have the ability to put an elite pilot talent plus the Force. You have Padme, which has some utility, even though she's a bit expensive. And then, of course, you have the entire chassis, the entire ship. Everyone in there can use take advantage of torpedoes, passive sensors with a free evade, which makes them really tough to kill. And the fact that they have access to droids, and of course regen. You have a ships that have a free evade, double action, and regen. They're automatically going to get. That alone takes them from B to A, I think, especially when they're costed pretty inexpensively. Even the Initiative 2s that just tickle you a bit, they're only like 32 points or something like that, and they're tough to kill. So, that one, from there, on the B list is the ARC 170. I actually think, you know, the ARC 170 might have been an A before the last points change when Sinker was not so expensive. And Sinker might have taken that up a little bit more. And I think just the way that the last point change occurred made the ARC 170 and the little bomber dudes, whatever they are.
Which one is that?
The VT-19s or whatever they are.
Okay. The Torrents. Are you putting them in B as well?
I think Sinker's point change made both of those ships worse. And in this particular case, it took the ARC 170 probably from an A to a B because they're still pretty cost effective. They've got some utility. Double arcs. Wolf is good. So they probably dropped from an A to a B. And the VT-19s or V-19s, whatever you call them, probably went from a B-plus to a B-minus. And they are at 25 points. It's nice to have a ship that doesn't die, and it's a good filler ship. They have an evade, so they're pretty annoying. Even though they're a good filler, I just don't think they're, with what you're playing, with this, you know, without having a list that really supports numbers, they're not as good. I think the V, what are they?
V19. Are they the Torrents. Call them Torrents.
V19?
Yeah.
All right. I think that if they were in a different faction, if you had the same ship in a different faction, they might do a little bit better. But in the Republic, they just don't have the. They don't really fit anymore because if you're flying Jedi, then you're playing a certain kind of style and you're probably better off with an arc. I know early on you used to, you had people like, you know, the Fosses flying two Jedi and two Torrents. They don't really fit anymore. Now you would be flying like two Jedi and one Torrent. That one Torrent's really not going to do anything but give away points to your opponent that you're trying to win on points, and you're just throwing them a free 25 there.
That trooper works real hard, though. Got to tell him. Works real hard.
It works hard, but it's, like I said, it needs to... One of them alone is not going to do a whole lot for you. And then probably what will... You guys might disagree as well. I'm going to take that BTL Y-Wing and throw that one all the way in the gutter. Just, you know, matchstick is good, but outside of matchstick, like
broadside.
Anakin
sucks. What about broadside?
Broadside,
Broadside is better than matchstick.
Matchstick, broadside. I just don't think that the ship as a whole is really good. I've never played against an opponent flying Republic and saw a Y-Wing on there and said, like, oh, I'm scared. Maybe actually that one time against you when you had like a million ions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the proximity wines and ions.
Oh, yeah.
But
Goji.
Nah, even don't. Huh?
They even nerfed Goji. That's how scared you were.
That's how good he is. See, that's why they went from A to C for that alone. But I think a lot of people who play a different style than me will make that Y-Wing higher. And probably the Naboo fighter lower is probably what I see. But, again, I just got to go with my own bias, with my own, you know, the way I fly, the way I play. And when I match up against the Y-Wing, I typically don't care. I ignore it.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna fight you a little bit. There's a couple things I would... Take the Torrent and the Y-Wing and flip them. Because if we're going to go back to some of the arguments we've used before. On the, for the Torrent, the only one that you really use is the Gold Squadron Trooper. That's it. You don't use any of the other pilots. At least on the Y-Wing, there's two pilots that get heavy use. And that's Broadside and Matchstick. And for that reason, I would flip them.
I agree.
Here.
Yeah, we only see the Gold Squadron Trooper. Like, legitimately, the name Torrents are trash. Actual trash. But the Gold Squadron Troopers are very good. So it's not like Resistance Bomber trash, but I think it probably would be C-tier. Now, granted, the Y-Wing only has two name pilots that are really relevant. Some people had success with R2-D2, okay. Some people play around with generics, with proton torpedoes and battle meditation Jedi, but that's just play around stuff, whatever. So I actually had a hard time thinking about, like, should they be in the same tier? Should Torrent just drop down to C with the Y-Wing? Should the Y-Wing go up to B? I think the Torrent at least drops down to C.
I would agree that this is probably the first faction where it's like, I wish we actually had a D tier. Because I don't feel that the Y-Wing and the ARC are in the same either. Will, thoughts?
Yeah, actually, I agree. <Switch on. laughs> I think Y-Wings are good. The Torrents are limited by... While they do have a good action bar, right? They got... four different white actions and a linked action. That's pretty good. They have access to a lot of tools, but overall, I wish that the named pilots, because like there's basically like almost like a like what like 15-20 point difference between a generic that's 25 points and an ace who's like 40 or so, right? Oddball, probably like 40 points or so with an upgraded tune. So, I agree. Y-Wings are good. They got R2-D2 has a crew slot. You can coordinate with the ship. Bombs. All the things. Broadside. Double Moth. Oh man, I could go on and on. Broadside should probably go up in points, but right now he's hot. It's a good price point for him. Real cheap. Otherwise, no. Everything else, I fully agree with.
All right. So, final rankings there. We got the Aether Sprite Delta 7 at the S tier. The Naboo Royal Starfighter at the A tier. At B, the ARC 170 and the Y-Wing. We are in agreement, though, that we feel that overall the ARC 170 is just a bit better than the Y-Wing. Maybe a B-plus tier. And then we get to C, and we vetoed Marcel into submission to put it down into the basement, down to the C tier. All right, so hopefully everybody at home had fun with that. We're going to do one more exercise, boys, and this is just for the funsies, and we got to get it done really quickly. All right. So last year I only did one video of it. It's because I didn't have a ton of time, and I'm going to try to do this really, really quick. We're going to have a little fun. Okay? Give me like 2 seconds. How about this? Ryan, can you give me a quick summary? Okay, now remember, what you guys see on my screen, the people can't see until I publish it, okay? So don't react. Try not to. Give me an overview of what we did today. And do we notice any type of patterns, anything like that?
So, I guess, every faction has an S tier, and every faction has a C tier. A lot of things are in A and B. That sounds pretty average across the board, what we see. Nothing is grandiose one area or the other. It probably helps a lot of the, what we see in S tier is just like all pilots useful or many of things are available to these pilots. Lower tier, one or two pilots are helpful or none of the pilots.
All right. For funsies. All right. I said that I made this video about a year ago. We are going to rank just the Republic right now. We'll do another one another day. And people will probably get more up in arms about this than the meta choices. And that is determining which of the ships are hot and which of the ships are not. We're just talking about the way the ships look. All right? Which ships give you the tinglies is my question. Okay, yes, that uncomfortable face, Ryan, that's exactly the reaction I was looking for. All right, let the riots begin. Marcel, because this was your faction, you get to set right now the hot or not. There's only two options, hot or not.
Hot or not.
Ready? V19 Based Torrent. You look at that ship, hot or not.
Garboge.
Ooh, not. Okay. What do the kids do now? They swipe left, right? I don't know. I don't know how this works.
You just said left, right.
All right. So, Rick. Sorry, not Rick Olay, but the Naboo okay. Starfighter. Hot or not?
Oh, it's got Padme in it. Got to be hot.
All right. Boom. There. I agree, man. The chrome on that ship.
Mm. I still got your...
So shiny.
Your silver one, too, in there. You haven't picked it up.
One day. Soon. All right. The Delta 7.
Hot.
Ooh. Gotta be hot. Ooh. He likes those triangle ships, I see. They got the pointy bits. All right. The Y-Wing. Hot or not?
Not.
Not? What?
The old Y-Wings are so... No. It's like a Ford Pinto.
All right. And then last but not least, the ARC 170.
That's a hot tamale.
I agree. All right. Well, there was your Republic hot or not given to you by Marcel Manzano. I have to say I disagree on the Y-Wing. All right. I like my ships a little thick, but I'm just saying it's fine. To each their own. All right. Hopefully you guys had some fun with that. All right. Let's move over to list of the week. It's list of the week time. Let me go ahead and grab my notes. So, list of the week. Our first one comes to us from P-Town and says, recently I bought a bunch of Imperial ships and have really taken to the Defender. I like this list. Both ships feel like they can punish opponents well if target priority isn't chosen wisely. Certainly open to feedback, though. If you didn't care about the bid, you could do all kinds of different things. But we're going to have Marcel determine what he wants to do with this list of the week. So we have Rear Admiral Sherinu with Tactical Officer, which changes the red coordinate to white, Darth Vader crew BT-1 and 000, and then Rexler Brath with Outmaneuver and Fire Control System.
All right. So let us move the... So I can see the list.
Oh, sorry.
On the screen. That way I can know where you are with it.
Yep, give me a second.
Look at that. All right. By the way, your desktop, like all the icons, looks like a public library. You've got everything in there.
The people didn't see that though. Why you gotta call me out like that? Why you gotta call me out? Nobody saw that.
No, they're gonna yell at you.
Like, clean up your desktop.
I need all those files there. Okay, I need them all.
Yeah, that's why they call folders, man. There's folders. Where were we? Okay, so Rear Admiral, obviously the ability is you trigger his ability by taking an action, by doing the reinforce front or back, then you trigger the focus result, turns to a critical hit. And Rexler, his ability is just by flying and shooting while he has an evade, so by not bumping. So yeah, the advanced sensors kind of makes sense there. If you're going to bump anyway, might as well have something there, but we're not going to go with that. First, we're going to get rid of tactical. And the reason is because Rear Admiral's Rack's ability is relying on an action. So you want to have that action in there. And you don't want to throw it away by giving Rexler, who already has two actions, a third one. So you're going to get rid of that. Let's get rid of the 000 as well. And BT-1. So at this point, you've got a pretty thin rack at 90 points with one upgrade. Darth Vader is extremely effective. But let's give him the title. So the Dauntless One title allows him to be able to take an action even if he bumps. Let's also give him Minister Tua as a crew slot. So Minister Tua says, while you have a damage, or is it while you have no shield, or while you're damaged?
At the start of engagement, if you are damaged, you may perform a red red.
So you have 12 hull, so you've got plenty of times for this coming in. That's basically, while if you don't bump, because Dauntless is a red action, if you don't bump, you can take a target lock and then at the start of engagement trigger his take the red reinforce and trigger his ability, so that way you have force, you have his soft, so basically two focuses, unless you use Vader to deal damage, you have a target lock and you're reinforced, so it's kind of getting you a third action if you don't bump. And if you do bump, where it comes in handy is if you bump, but you have initiative 5 or initiative 6 ships that are moving after you, you can decide where you put your reinforce, either before or you know, in the front or in the back based on where they moved. So that makes Rack either have two actions with a couple soft focuses, or being able to kind of tank against initiative 5 and 6 ships a little bit better. Now on Rexler, I'm just going to change that outmaneuver to fire to juke. So it adds 1 point. You still have a pretty decent bid. We're missing something. And one more thing on Rack. Just throw a seismic charge on Rack, just to kind of cover his behind a little bit. So with this, you still have a pretty decent bit. It's six, you have 6 points, so you're going to move. You know, a lot of the other lists that are trying to go for bids are like, there's a pretty good cutoff at 195, 196 that you're going to beat. You're not going to touch the ones that are bidding in the 180s anyway, so no point in trying. Fire control system is pretty good if you're that way you can get a reroll focus evade. And of course, the combination of having Vader and Juke to basically get rid of the focus token and Juke to get Rexler's ability to trigger, it just helps a lot more. And this list will be tough to kill with one, because Rack is just has a ton of health, and Rexler is just hard to kill because he's double 7 health with 3 agility and a free evade, and you know, white K turns is going to be tough to kill, and it's going to deal out potentially a ton of critical damage. And this is how I would leave it, and it's pretty fun list. I mean, you can, for 1 point more, you can get rid of Juke and fire control system and go with advanced sensors, but I don't think it's that big a deal with this particular list, because the advanced sensors works really well with lists that you want to win on points over a long period of time. But this one, you're not really trying to win on points. You're just trying to cause more damage. You know, it's a damage race with this one, because they're eventually going to kill Rack. So you want to get in there and you want to do as much damage as possible. So I actually think the Juke and fire control system being more aggressive probably gives you, it plays more towards that style.
All right, so we end up with Rack, Minister Tua, Seismic Charges, Dauntless, Darth Vader, and then Rexler with Juke and Fire Control System. Hopefully we helped you out there a little bit, Mr. or Miss Town. Next, we got Fingers. Ryan's going to go ahead and take a look at this one. This is a scum list, and the prompt is, I was thinking a bit, and would like to see Boss come back to the game with his 180-degree arc, and I think Bossk and Boba are a good combo, in my humble opinion. End quote. So we have Boba Fett with Fearless, Maul, Rig Cargo Chute, Slave 1, Hull Upgrade, and then Bossk with Marksmanship, L337, Forlom, Han Solo, Gunner, Hull Upgrade, and Contraband Cybernetics, sitting at 194 points. Ryan, what am I doing here?
So, that is a hefty boss. But granted, this is a two-ship list. I think there's some more potential that could be put onto Boba. As we know, Boba can carry a lot of games. If you get boss hitting really hard, he can help push that further along. I don't think marksmanship is the way to go, though, and I think Han adds to that total of Bossk's points that is unnecessary. So one of the first things I looked at was getting rid of marksman and changing Han Solo gunner to a Greedo gunner. That way Bossk can get those crits on enemy ships and make that a much more threatening shot in all areas of his arc, not just his bullseye.
Sorry, you just did a little rhyme there. Get those crits on enemy ships. That sounds like a little slant rhyme.
Hey, if you want to make it into a music video for X-Wing, go for it.
It's coming soon, TM.
Soon. I definitely like Forlom on any YV-666. You have two uses of Forlom before you get Ion, so I'm keeping that. Contraband's good. We're actually going to take Rig Cargo Chute off of Boba and also change that to Contraband Cybernetics. I think Rig Cargo just adds more difficulty for Bossk to get around in most cases. Granted, I know a lot of times Bossk won't care about debris. He'll just go, I'm here to point my shot at someone. And with that in mind, I like the idea of L337 because that defensive, you know, mitigate the damage early. With that one shot, it's that natty that's coming in, and then you get the added bonus of some blues. But I think if we swap L337 for 000, big base ship more likely to get that range 1, And then we're taking boss to take target locks. And we'll see, we'll get that, if we get that range one, we'll get that calculate. If they want to take a stress, neat. You won't be cake turning behind me. And then, let's see, I maintain the hull upgrade, upgrade Boba Fett's hull upgrade to shield upgrade. And we should be left with 16 points, I believe. It's a lot.
Correct.
And you can do a few things with that. I don't think I would invest a ton into boss, but if you were to do something, you could go with Houndstooth and add Nash to pup for that annoyance of, haha, you actually haven't killed me, ha ha ha, a runaway. Which leaves you with 9 points, and you could pick your payload of choice on Boba, proximity mine, proton bomb, or seismics. If you don't go the Houndstooth route, that 16 points leaves you enough to make Boba and have him a proton torpedo to make him a threat on that range 3. You may not have the rerolls, but hey, you got Maul crew and a proton torpedo. That's a range 3 engagement I don't even want to have in that regard either. And that puts more of your points on the more valuable ship. So you want to have more thematic fun with Houndstooth? Go for it. Do you want to have a high-powered Boba Fett range 3 shot? You have a proton torpedo.
All right, so we end up with Boba Fett, Fearless, Maul, Contraband Cybernetic, Slave 1, Shield Upgrade, and Proton Torpedo, and then Bossk with Forlom, Contraband Cybernetics. We did not take that. 000, Greedle, and a Hull Upgrade. Awesome. And then last but not least tonight, we have a list coming from Trogdor. And Trogdor says, I've been tinkering with 5 Nantaks, and I was inspired by a fly casual squad that surprised and murdered me. This is the new twist with 6 ships. Let me know what you think. All right, Will. What magic are you going to do here, man? So we have... I didn't read the list. My bad. We have... we have 3... of the Initiative 4 Nantex, the Petranaki Arena Aces with Crackshot and Predator. You got 3 of those. You got 2 Haor Shal prototypes. Those are the Vultures Initiative 1 with the double dots. You can only have 2 of them. They have Discords and Grappling Struts. And you have a Trade Federation drone with Discords and Grappling Struts. This is a weird one.
So this is tough in our normal restrictions of one ship or one chassis swap. And if I was abiding by those rules, I would try to. this would be easy for me. One of those Petranaki.
Yeah.
Petranaki. That's going to become DFS 311. That's a vulture. Turns out vultures carrying discords. That's the only other thing vultures do than swarm. They do hold discords very well. They have that upgrade slot. So the combination of a support ship supporting the being able to support the Trade Federation drones, the Discord missiles, and the Nantaks makes them invaluable. How many points do we got left? Which is that
19.
One does he have struts? I can't see your screen.
Now he does. Oh, wrong thing. Struts. 18.
Okay. So, and this is where I'm split. And actually going over in depth the Separatist, it's if we're in hyperspace, you can just put in snare. Take off both those bullseye things. Even at initiative 4, tractor being a Z95 with Crackshot and a barrel roll. Sounds a lot better than what they're trying to do with just like two or three of them. So I'm going to put an ensnare on them. These are the ace arena aces are the I4, which is interesting. They bring both talent slots, I guess. You do save 4 points by going down, but I'm going to keep them at 4 because it is much easier to ensnare if you're initiative 4. I can agree on that. But we're over points on that, so we just got to drop down the prototypes. What are they called? those prototypes. We're at that to swap them down. We don't have the extra points then, so they got to be Trade Federation drones, like the rest of them.
Roger, Roger.
That should get me to 200. All right, I think
on the money.
That makes sense. This is the other problem: is that you're bringing Discord missiles, and you're not ensnaring people onto them. They barrel off of them, and you're like, huh, that's cute. And they barrel them right back onto them with a tractor beam. Now that's good old fashioned fun. Now I do have a question for you.
Yes,
I do. It was a quick collective idea. All right, go back up to the main list. Go back to the main list.
Reset it.
Yeah, reset.
Okay, reset.
All right. Now, Chagdor had brought up the most interesting question. Go up there to the top left and hit extend or hit hyperspace.
Oh, sorry, killed it.
Okay, well, fair enough.
404 right, so error. 404 error.
Wow.
There we go.
I think you guys get where I'm going with this. Is that what? Can you even build a list that is even viable with multiple Nantaks in hyperspace? Is it what pilot or pilots are even allowing you to do that? Is it the cheap, like, because if we're not bringing in Snare, we might as well go back down to the cheap ones, right? Is there a hyperspace option? Is it Brewer Kret and probe droids? Is that their only saving grace in hyperspace? Anybody?
Yeah.
Any ideas? Anything? Because I am at a loss. I am at a loss.
Nada. Zippo. Nothing.
I got nothing. You just hope to get a bunch of bullseyes and roll natties on defense. Like, that's about it.
I do see. All right, so you can. What he was describing was 5 Nantaks, and then I guess you could. You put DFS 311 in a 5 Nantaks list. Barely. It fits. Oh, wait, yeah, easily. You got 6 points. Like, I do think that might actually be interesting, but I am not trusting. How are you gonna get all these bullseyes? Well, it's because you have them at the aces. I put them down to the generics.
Yeah.
You ain't catching bullseyes. I guess Jedi do. But Jedi have focus and 3 agility, and your ace is gonna have and boost
or both.
I guess you have bank boost and of and 3 agility. I think goes a long way of getting. And you don't roll the 3. The calibrated just adds it to you if you have to focus. So, like, I don't know. They don't have enough going on. I wish they didn't hyperspace. Sad days.
Well, hopefully everybody enjoyed our List of the Week segment and the other segments that we had today. I know we had a great time. Hopefully we get those points update soon. Want to remind you guys again, July 18th. All right, we have the Campaign Against Cancer Telethon. Should be awesome. I'm super excited. I'm super excited for it. 24 hours of X-Wing and Star Wars content. And I'm not sure if you heard the news, but Chewbacca, okay? The actor who plays Chewbacca is going to be on. And there's going to be a Chewbacca roaring sound-alike contest judged by him. And they're taking submissions now. Okay? They're taking submissions now. So get on it. Let's go. Make sure you guys are tuning in for that weekend. It should be super fun. We'll want to see a bunch of donations. We're going to make a donation here from Gold Squadron as well and hope to help them hit that goal. Also, there's going to be two to four, depends on programming. Two to four awesome segments that Gold Squadron is going to be providing for this 24-hour live stream. This is content that hasn't been anywhere else. And I'm very goodly at the English. four segments of having players look back in X-Wing history on awesome games that we've recorded here on Gold Squadron and having not one but both players talk about the game. It's absolutely awesome, okay? I'm super excited for it, and the only way you're going to get to watch those is through the CAC live stream. So make sure you guys are tuning in. It should be awesome. Who do you got? I got people like Duncan Howard, Marcel Manzano, the very own, Paul Heaver, Paul Olson, Zach Bart, just to name a few. All right, so super excited about it. Hopefully, we see you there, and it'll be live here, also the CAC channel. More information to come, but I know we're excited because we pretty much confirmed today that we for sure have 24 hours worth of content, which is going to be good. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. Gold Squadron